Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today we're going to be talking for a bit of time about children's publications. We're going to be talking about how important reading is. And of course, with the holidays here, there are so many of you that have children in the family that maybe you're going to be wanting to give gifts to. My guest today is Patricia Derrick. We're going to be talking about one of her many books, Riley the Rhinoceros. I want to welcome you, Patricia, to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Patricia, I had received information on your publication, and in part of the material that I received, it talks about a study that was conducted by UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, and it took averages from five different international educational studies. And the United States was ranked 18 out of 24 nations as far as our educational system and its effectiveness. So you have been involved with education for a number of years. You've got a master's degree in education from the University of Utah. You are also the owner of three Montessori schools, and there are nine children's books to your credit. You really are involved with learning.
Yes, I am.
Because of these studies, and more money is being poured into the educational system, why is it you feel it's not working? Why has the United States in general fallen so far behind when it comes to the basic skills?
Well, it's not that it's not working. It is working. But the first 5 years of a child's life is the time when their brain is developing so rapidly. And you have a captive audience with these young children, and you need to use the time wisely. And the problem is not that we have a bad system, but we have a system that's more or less mediocre. What we do with very young children is sit and read to them. This provides some stimulation, but it's really not strong enough to make the strong connections in the brain that we want to make. And if you want me to continue, when you're born, when anybody is born, they have as many neurons as they'll ever have. And there are hundreds, thousands and thousands and thousands of neurons. Many of them dissipate. But the ones that do not dissipate and become active in the brain need strong connections. The connection, going back to biology in the high school, is the synapse. The connection between the neurons. For children to be able to learn, become very good learners, though they need to have strong connections in their brain. This is common knowledge. It's all over the internet. If you go to YouTube and look up neuron connections, you'll find all sorts of videos on it. And we as educators need to take advantage of this and make as strong a connection as we can in these young children. Well, if we just read a book to a child, yes, that will stimulate the brain. But the goal with Animalation Publishing, my company, is to make the make it multisensory learning, multisensory stimulation. And the way you can do that is, sure, read a book to a child, but also get a child actively involved in the story. That means dancing, singing, answering questions, playing instruments, movement, whatever they can, following along, and they have a refrain that they can say after the book is, certain parts of the book are read. Whatever they can do to be involved creates multisensory stimulation. And if you add music to the equation, a song that they can sing, it makes it that much more stimulating.
Now, I know with Riley the Rhinoceros, this book, and you've got the other books that you have published, which,
yes,
interestingly enough, are all about animals. You have Dodie the dog, Rickety and Snickety at the Balloon Festival. You have Farley the ferret. And you've got some new ones, Mr. Walrus and the Old School Bus, Montgomery the Moose, Sly the Dragonfly, and Rathbone the Rat. You have these other publications that are coming out, too. Now, when you first started this, because you've been involved with education for over 30 years.
Yes.
There must have been a real purpose regarding the utilization of animals and making the animals so integral into the reading environment. Kids love them, of course, but had you observed what Disney did? Because, my goodness, almost anybody I've ever talked to when Disney movies came out, like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or Cinderella, the kids would do exactly what you talked about. They get totally engrossed in the animation, and then they would sing the songs, and all of that goes together as a stimulus. You have sort of, in a way, done something very similar because you have CDs with your books that children
can listen to.
I
do have CDs, and that can be a plus or a minus, to be honest with you. I'm on the Follett catalog. I'm in the Follett catalog for libraries nationally. But when you have a musical CD that can break or scratch, then libraries are hesitant to put the books in. So this is what I've done to get around that. We do have CDs right now, but we're going to move forward, and on future books being printed, we will just have a label on the front that says download original song from iTunes. Currently we have 14 songs on iTunes. You can find them on Amazon.com, CD Baby, Napster. Just look up Animalations or look up the title, Riley the Rhinoceros. So you can buy the book, and the easiest place is BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. Buy the book. It comes with a musical CD. But you can also go to iTunes and download those songs. Put it on an iPod or whatever. And that way, if the CD breaks, you'll have the music indefinitely. And in the future, all of my books will, the music will come from downloading it on the Internet.
Well,
getting back to the...
Mm-hmm, that's a good step to move forward to.
Yes, it is. And getting back to the animals, just to answer your question, to be honest with you, you're so right about Disney, but that was, that really was not my thought. I did not think about that at the time. It was just in my schools. It's all about animals. The children
mm-hmm.
love animals, insects, anything living, anything moving. And that's where I started creating animals for my stories that we were using.
Now, one of the things that I noticed about the book Riley the Rhinoceros, there was a rhythm to everything that's in the book, like Riley the Rhinoceros is the jungle bus, but he can't get right to all of us because that would be preposterous. Now, one of the things I liked about your book was putting in the word preposterous,
mm-hmm.
and you have it printed out in such a way so that a child in reading it, wanting to read, could sound it out. And
yes.
visually, it's done so that the eye will pull it together as a word, but at the same time, it's broken apart by space so that the word, which in the minds of some people, it's, oh my goodness, that's too big a word for a small
yes.
child, which is ridiculous because kids learn words and
yes.
they may not have the muscle movement in their mouth to pronounce it exactly correctly, but that's part of the learning curve. That's part of what they have to do.
Exactly. So true. Children are not afraid of big words. Adults are afraid of the big words.
Mm-hmm.
And if children can learn these larger, longer words in a song, it just becomes part of their song. So they learn
right.
it naturally. The other thing is, even though we encourage children to learn the song, be able to sing the song, and then they can read along in the book, because our songs, the words in our songs are exactly the same as the text in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So as they learn the song, Riley the Rhinoceros is the jungle bus, as they learn the song, they can actually read along in the book. That's what makes the difference. But we're not trying to take the place of phonics. Phonics is very important in a child's learning to read and learning and increasing their language skills. So, yes, We do include longer words that they can sound out, but really initially, if they know the song, they've got the word anyway.
Also, which one thing that I find is very unique in your book, is that you actually have the musical score written out. So if a teacher were to use the book and she had a piano in a classroom or, you know, a portable instrument that she could use, she actually could take the music right from this. And even for kids, if they're wanting to be able to utilize it, you have the notes written out, like the B major, and there's all kinds of little things relative to the notes themselves, whether they're major or minor, and it all really comes together quite nicely. So you say it's the rhythm, rhyme, and repetition that enables children to learn very effectively and very well, and to enjoy it, to really have a good time with it.
Yes, and while they're doing that, they're developing their brain.
Yes, and that's very important.
So critical. When children have skills where their brain has stronger connections between neurons, adults interpret that as smarter children. And really and truly, they've just had a lot of music, a lot of patterns in their lives. And the best way for parents to learn about that is just look it up, do a Google search for brain development, neurons in the brain, stronger connections, and music, include music. And it's all over the Internet. The research is there, and it's a shame that we as teachers are not using it more.
I agree. And I think that it overlaps. Music is mathematics. Yep. It encourages children to use numbers. Yep. And the very fact of all of this being combined in your books, I think, is wonderful. But the color also that I was observing, these are so bright and colorful. You have a delightful artist, Jean-Paul Lopez-Martinez, and his artwork is just wonderful.
Now, J.P. Lopez-Martinez, or Jean-Paul Lopez-Martinez, is from France. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, as does Lopo. He came to America as a guest of Andre Agassi's foundation in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then Lopo and I started working together. He did 9 of my books. But Lopo now is working for Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas, Nevada, and China. So these paint, and he has a painting in the White House. He is such a brilliant individual, and to have his paintings in my books, it's just wonderful.
Absolutely. Now, you have a website called Animalations. Yep. .com, Animalations, and it is very informative. People can go there and can look at all of the variables that you incorporate. And what's so nice is that when you are working with children, if you have the CD, and of course you can download it, like she said, and it's very catchy tunes that the children will listen to, but it helps them with memorization. It helps them with visualization, the colors in the book. It helps them with pronunciation, which is very, very important. So all of these things combined make learning a joyful experience. And Patricia, you have gone a long way in that direction. And having been involved again, as I said earlier, in education for so many years, before we close out, is there a thought that you would like to share with my audience?
Well, I want to share a new product I have. I'll just give the name. They can research it on the Internet. It's called IntelliTel. These are DVDs for young children and babies. And instead of having puppets, we have live children, live babies, live animals. It's counting, numbering, singing to original songs. So that's something they may want to check out, too, IntelliTel.
IntelliTel. Spell that out.
IntelliTel. And it is addressed on my website also.
Oh, great. So you can go into our website, animalations.com, and check out for this information here. Patricia, I want to thank you for being my guest again, Patricia Derrick, The book we were talking about today is Riley the Rhinoceros. She does have many others that are published. The music can be downloaded for your children if that's what you would like to do. So check out her website, animalations.com, and you'll find out so many more points of information that will be available to you. Patricia, thank you ever so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be covering some other items as we move along. Patricia is now, she has, again, the website of animalations.com, and you can go to IntelliTale on her website and check out more information. Well, telephone lines are now open at this time if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number. That's 888-815-9756. All I'll need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from, so give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I received a story from Betty in California, and it sort of fits with the holiday season, I think, quite nicely. And as I said, when you send me something via email, I do like to share it. So this is what I'm going to be doing with Betty's story. And the story starts out saying, don't judge people. Don't judge people. This is a real-life situation that apparently occurred. There was a man standing behind an individual in the long line at the grocery store, and he was fussing because he was having to wait in line. Ever had one of those people behind you? Or have you ever felt that way when you're standing in line? Well, there was a woman that was behind this gentleman that said, you'd think the manager would pay attention and open up another line. Well, of course, during the holiday season, we all get a little bit flustered. We get impatient because we've got so many schedules to keep and so many things going on. Well, this person that wrote this story said that they looked to the front of the line to see what the holdup was. And this individual saw a very well-dressed young lady trying to get the machine to accept her credit card. And no matter how many times she would swipe the card, the machine kept rejecting it. And so this man who had been fussing in line speaks up because he sees this going on. And he says, it's one of them welfare card things. Blankety blank, people need to get a job like everybody else. The young woman turned around to see who had made the comment. And he looks at her right in the eye and he points to himself and he said, it was me. Well, the young lady's face really started changing expression. She was ready to cry. She dropped the welfare card onto the counter and quickly walked out of the store. Now, everybody in the checkout line was watching as they saw her running to her car. She didn't look back. She just got in and drove away. Now, the person that had observed this said that they had, in 1977, developed cancer and had to use food stamps themselves, and because of the circumstances they had gone through, they decided they would never judge anybody without knowing the circumstances of their life. And that is what happened in that grocery line. A few minutes later, there was a young man who walked into the store. He went up to the cashier and asked if she had seen the woman who had run out, and after describing her, the cashier told him that yes, she had. The young lady had run out of the store, gotten into her car, and drove away. And the man asked, why would she do that? Well, everybody that was standing in the line at the grocery store looked around at the guy who had made the statement. So he was standing there, feeling very embarrassed. He said, okay, I made a stupid comment about the welfare card she was using. I shouldn't have said what I said, and I'm very sorry. The young man that had come into the store walked over to this man and said, well, that's bad, real bad. You need to know why she was using the welfare card. Her brother was killed in Afghanistan 2 years ago. He had three young children, and she's taken on the responsibility of raising them. She's only 20 years old. She's single, and she now has three children to support. young man that was talking to the older man was very firm in his tone, and the older man said, gee, I'm really sorry, I didn't know. And he was getting very flustered. The young man then went to the cashier and he asked, are these groceries paid for? Pointing to the shopping cart that the young woman had left behind. It was full of groceries. The clerk said, the machine just wouldn't take her card. And the man asked, do you know where she lives? She said, yes. And this was the man that was standing in line. He said, do you know where she lives? And the young man, he said, yes, she goes to my church. So the gentleman walked up to him and he said, excuse me. He pulled out his wallet, took out his credit card, and told the cashier, please use my card, please. So the clerk took this man's credit card and began to ring up the young woman's groceries that were in the cart that had been put to the side. The gentleman then said, hold on. He walked back to his shopping cart and began loading his own groceries onto the belt to be included. He then turned everybody in line and said, come on, people. We've got 3 kids to help raise. Everyone that was in that grocery line began to place their groceries onto the fast-moving belt, and a few customers stepped up to the front and began bagging the food and placing it into separate carts. There was a woman of rather heavy-set structure, and she said, go back and get 2 big turkeys. No, said the man who was taking care of all this up front. Of course, everybody just absolutely stopped dead when he said no. He said, get 4 turkeys. So everybody relaxed. They started laughing and they went back to work. When all was said and done, this man had paid a total of $1,646.57 for the groceries. He then walked over to the side, pulled out his checkbook, and began writing a check using the bags of dog food that were piled near the front of the store for a writing surface. He turned around and handed the check to the young man. He said she'll need a freezer and a few other things as well. The young man looked at the check and looked at the gentleman and said, this is really very, very generous of you. No, said the man, her brother was the generous one. With those words being said, everybody in the store that was watching everything that was going on gave a big round of applause. The moral behind this story, as Betty tried to share with me, is one person can make a difference. But sometimes we can, without knowing what's behind something, make judgments. And if we don't take the time to find out why something is occurring, many times we make wrong assessments. I know I have in my life, and often it taught me to ask, to find out, to not assume. We're in the holiday season this year, and so often we think we know what's going on around us, and lots of times we may not. Many times there may be people around us that are going through some real tough times, and maybe all it takes is a little bit of patience, a little bit of thoughtfulness, and perhaps some generosity, but an awareness that maybe we need to take the time to spend with someone to find out what's really going on. And I know we're all busy and things are going on, but sometimes that little bit of extra something can make a big difference, just like that gentleman who had been so impatient in the line found out. And I think he gave a very, very generous gift, and is an example of how when we do really know the facts, we often know the right action to follow. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jason Dearlin. This is a young man that I think is quite exceptional. He's published a book called Return from a Comatose Mind. He knows what he's talking about because he was the person that went through the coma. I think you'll find his story very heartwarming and very, very amazing on more than one level. And then Ruth Milstein, we're going to be talking about cooking with love. This is the season. Yes. And then on Friday, love your body, love your life. This is by Sarah Maria. And she gives tremendous insights into how to use your own awareness of your body to understand what's going on with you as an individual. And that's the lineup for this week. Let's see how you can possibly save some money on some Christmas gifts. Well, you know, there are so many places that are offering sales this year. With the economy being in the situation that it is, people are looking for bargains everywhere. Craigslist is always a good place to shop, but if you're really wanting to find out about toys for infants and older kids, why don't you check the toy outlet section at Amazon.com? You may be surprised at what's going to be available there, and they're offering substantial discounts. And also, toy retailers, do you know that they will, if you sign up on their emails from their website, you'll be able to hear first about the sales before anybody else does, and you may also be able to get free coupons. You know, it's only 10 days till the Big C, Christmas itself. And then if you really want to have some cosmetics for you gals out there, there are some sites called Sephora.com, that's S-E-P-H-O-R-A.com, and Ulta.com. They also have a sale or clearance section where they're trying to get rid of the inventory for the year. And this is a great place to find some things that maybe you might want to give as gifts to perhaps some teenage girls, or maybe you've got a friend that just doesn't seem to want to spend very much or doesn't have the money to spend on makeup. Well, this would be a great way to put something together. Also, there are so many different companies such as Elf and Mark that have affordable makeup you can buy a whole bunch of, and then you can create custom beauty boxes for friends. There's all kinds of things that we can do, and I think one of the things that often can evolve with the holidays is becoming creative. What do you have? What can you do? What can you work with that can make giving gift fun, imaginative, interesting? It is a part of us that I think we forget we've got so many times. That's what we need to be able to improvise with. What can we do? How can we be creative? What can we come up with? It's a different way of thinking, but sometimes if you brainstorm with some friends, you might find over a cup of coffee at a little cafe, if you brainstorm with some friends, they'll say, well, why not try this? Why not try that? Brainstorm and see what items you've got, and maybe you can even exchange some things and come up with some unique ideas that can really make the holiday season whimsical and absolutely delightful, and surprise yourself and everybody else about what you're doing. One of the things that I came across in the way of information that I thought was just fabulous is that if you want, you can give a gift to someone and at the same time make a charitable donation. There is a website called breadforlife.org. They are selling wonderfully beaded necklaces. They're created by Ugandan women, and the proceeds support the artists, and additional profits are invested in community projects to help impoverished people around the world. So if you want to get something like this, go to breadforlife.org, and you will have to order if you want it by Christmas before December 17th. Also, you can have flowers from organicbouquet.com, and a portion of the proceeds will go to charitable, social, and environmental organizations. And even if you wait until Christmas Eve, they're guaranteeing next day delivery will be there as it needs to be. So that's for flowers, organicbouquet.com. And if you have some people where you just say, well, I just don't know exactly what I want, there is a site called giftback.com where you can purchase jewelry, candy, gadgets, and all kinds of things. And 10% of your purchase goes to the charity of your choice. That's different, a charity of your choice. And orders can be sent overnight, some even the same day. So there are some tips for you that I think you might enjoy. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. And I've got some scientific things to share with you. I've got a wonderful story about a woman who bakes a mean apple cake and how it saved her house. Yes, I've got that, so I'll be sharing that with you. But more than anything else, if you want to chat with me, the number to call, 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Archaeologists just around the world, it's amazing how they are finding more and more information. Technology has a lot to do with it because often they're able, with various types of equipment, they're able to get readings about places underneath the earth. Now, this wasn't possible all that long ago, and I can remember reading many years ago about Edgar Cayce saying that during this time we were going to be finding out a lot about civilizations that lived before us. Well, in June of this year, there was an archaeologist by the name of Ian, who is from the University of Notre Dame. He and his colleagues uncovered the oldest known granaries. And they're located at the Draa Archaeological Site. Boy, my mouth doesn't want to work very well today. On the shore of the Dead Sea in Jordan. Now, they published a paper on this in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And the team said that this food storage structure dated back 11,000 years, a millennium before humans were thought to have domesticated crops. That is really a big discovery. Now, they've analyzed the grains from the site, and they said that the people that were living in this Dead Sea area in Jordan stored a mix of wild and cultivated barley along with a very early variety of wheat. And they said the surprise is not only that they were storing food, but that they were very sophisticated in the way that they were storing it. Now, these granary floors were elevated, most likely to keep out mice and to prevent spoilage from dampness. They were also slightly sloped, and they felt that it might be for drainage. Also, by having these tremendous structures, they were providing a buffer against famine and allowing larger groups of people to settle together. They think that the storehouses might have fostered the cultural transition from bands of hunter-gatherers to complex, cohesive societies. A point was made by Anne. He said, stored food can be used as a form of social currency. It literally changes everything. I can recall going to an exhibit that came in from China here in the Seattle area a few years ago. And it was absolutely amazing what they had discovered. And this, again, is just within the last 5 to 10 years these discoveries have been made. And so they're taking these discoveries as they can around the world to different museums. But what I was so amazed with is that, contrary to popular opinions, historically, there were not supposed to have been Scandinavian people in a certain area of China. Well, they find this village that had literally been buried that was filled with all kinds of information and materials and items. And not only had Scandinavian peoples done trading with the Chinese, they also had developed a very sophisticated communication system. So here we are in our world today, and we are in the good positioning of being able to discover that there were peoples that were on this planet a long, 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 long time before most individuals would even acknowledge it. And here we are discovering they knew how to store food. They knew how to grow food. They knew how to transport food. They had things to deal with, just like we have things to deal with today. How do you preserve food? How do you make it so that it's going to be available at various times during the year so that people don't go hungry? So this research discovery, I think, is just absolutely amazing. The first grain silos discovered in the area of Jordan. So we're never, ever going to know it all. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to make judgments about history. And it rattles everybody's cage that thinks that they've got the absolutes, when really they just have barely scratched the surface. I wonder what other exciting things are going to be found. I wanted to share a recipe with you today also that's really quick, easy, and nutritious. And so many times in the morning we'd like to have something a little bit different. And when you're in the holiday huffle-buffle of activity, sometimes you wonder what you maybe could fix on a weekend or at any time for family or friends. Maybe you've got relatives visiting. What would you like to serve that's really going to be easy, flavorful, tasty? Even kids will like it. Well, there is a wonderful recipe here that I came across. It's called Peachy English Muffins. And you can use another fruit. If you don't like peaches, you could substitute with pears. But it's real simple. It's a 2 whole wheat English muffins. You split them in half. And, of course, you can double this recipe, make as many of these as you want. But you're going to use 2 whole wheat English muffins, split them in half. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of low-fat tub cream cheese. And then you need 1 15-ounce can of sliced peaches and juice. And you want to drain them. And if you've got any slices of those peaches that are real thick, you want to cut them so that they're a little bit thinner. And then you're going to need 3/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of ground allspice, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 2 tablespoons of light brown sugar, and you want those firmly packed into the tablespoon, 2 teaspoons of butter, or if you like, light margarine, 1/4 cup of uncooked quick cooking oatmeal. All good stuff. Now, how are we going to put it together? First, preheat your oven to about 350 degrees, and you want to have a baking sheet. It's a good idea to line it with aluminum foil. And then you put your English muffin halves on that baking sheet, and you spread the English muffin halves with the cream cheese. Put the peaches in a bowl. Sprinkle half of a teaspoon of cinnamon, allspice, and nutmeg over the peaches. Stir it gently. Then arrange the peaches in a single layer on the cream cheese. And in a small bowl, you stir together the brown sugar, your butter or margarine, remaining 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. Add your oatmeal, and then using your fingertips, you rub the mixture until it's crumbly, sprinkling over the peaches. Bake it for 25 minutes or until the topping is nice and firm and the peaches are good and hot. And serve them while they're hot, and it's a serving for 4. What a nice breakfast. What a wonderful light breakfast, and it's healthy, too. And, oh, well, it smells good while it is baking. So I wanted to give that out to you today because it's real easy, real simple, and it will be something different. And the smell of cinnamon when it's cooking, there's nothing like it. You know, if you really want to make your house smell extra special, try some apple juice on top of the stove with some cinnamon sticks in it and just sort of let it simmer away. Or you can buy your apple cider spices. You can get them in containers at your grocery store. Put them in a pot of simmering water. If you're like me and you've got maybe a wood stove or a insert in your fireplace and you've got a ledge, that's a wonderful way to sort of humidify the room by putting a pot or a steam kettle of some kind on top so it will bring moisture into the air, because whenever you use a wood stove, it really does dry out the air quite a bit. And I know our insert does the same thing. But if you wanted to have that moisture but with fragrance, add those spices. And oh, it absolutely is marvelous. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a story about a woman, Deborah Bebb. She wrote this because she said, Angela Logan is a woman that needs to be known about because she's really an inspiration to people. Angela is one of those individuals who really had a bunch of tough luck hit her. She just is one of these very, very hard-working people. She's done all kinds of jobs, but her part of the country in Tennessee got hit with a vicious, vicious storm. Her basement was flooded. Her ceilings were damaged. The contractor she hired to do the work bilked her out of thousands of dollars. On top of that, she lost her job. The company she was working for went belly up. That really would have made my day. How about yours? Well, you can just imagine what it was like for Angela. Now, Angela had children, but they were almost adults, so she didn't have little ones. And they were trying to help her out because they were working while they were going to school. But everything she had, her savings, was gone. She gets her mail one day, opens it up, and a foreclosure notice is right there. Big letters. We're going to take your home. Well, she called into the bank, just like any of us would do. Talk to someone, and they said, you know, you might qualify for a mortgage reorganization, but you first have to take care of 3 mortgage payments on time. Well, okay, you do that. Well, what would you do if your mortgage date was 2 weeks away? Angela was absolutely devastated. The counselor she was working with, who was trying to help her, asked some questions. What are you good at? Do you have a hobby? Is there something that you could sell that you have? Well, the first thing that popped into Angela's mind is that she bakes. She likes to bake. And she loves to bake apple cakes, and her apple cakes are just absolutely wonderful. Well, she went home, and her son said to her, Mom, we'll help you, and we'll get you some customers. So she needed to sell 100 cakes in 10 days. 100 cakes in 10 days. Well, she was taking a class at a local college, and Angela opened her mind in the class. She She decided to talk about what was happening to her. She said, my family's gone through some tough times, so I'm baking apple cakes and selling them to save our home. Everybody in the classroom was absolutely quiet. Then someone raised their hand and said, I'll buy one. She was on her way. Now, by the end of that class, Angela had 10 orders, which created a brand new challenge for her. How in the world would she be able to bake so many cakes in the time she had left? She only had one small electric mixer, two cake pans, and one oven. She was panicking. But she just kept baking. She was baking one cake right after another. Now, there was a reporter that heard about her and was writing for a local newspaper, and he decided to stop by. So she told him her story and said, I'm fighting to keep my house one cake at a time. The next thing she knows, she's been invited to appear on Fox News, where they told her story. She got hundreds of cake orders. Well, then she was really scared. How in the world is she going to be able to take care of all of that? Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you're going to hear the rest of this wonderful story. Donna Thebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Thebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Thebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Thebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
This is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now let's get back to Angela, because if you've been listening, you know that Angela went through this very, very difficult time. She gets exposure on Fox Network. Yeah, now she's got hundreds of cakes to bake. Remember, she has two cake pans, one electric mixer, one oven. Well, what happened next was amazing. The next day after she had gotten all of these orders, there was a manager from a local Hilton hotel that knocked on her door and said to her, I'd like to offer you use of our kitchen to bake your cakes. If I had been Angela, I probably would have passed out just from sheer shock. I'm sure she felt that way. She just was amazed. She said, how can I ever thank you? That very same afternoon, she walked into the commercial kitchen at the Hilton, complete, obviously, with huge ovens, massive amounts of mixers. She could bake 10 cakes at the same time. Yep. Well, 10 days later, after baking and baking and baking and baking, she was able to drop a check for 3 months for her mortgage payments in the mail. And she was crying when she was doing that, because she was able to do it. Now, what happened after this is that there was a bakery service called Bake Me a Wish. They wanted to market Angela's Cakes, and then donate 5% of every one that they sell to children's charities. She is so amazed at the series of events. She says, it's a way to pay forward some of the amazing kindness I've received. I know now that if you work hard and have faith, sweet things can happen, maybe even miracles. Now, here are some suggestions that if you're trying to figure out how to make money, and I know we're in the holiday season, but if you have a skill, maybe like Angela, it could be cooking, maybe it's photography, maybe you want to do something else, find out what the pros charge. I have a friend who is a lady in her 70s that's been trying to figure out a way to make money, and one day somebody said, would you house sit for me? Would you take care of my pets? I want somebody I can trust. Whoa! There she was. She checked around to see what the rates were for the people that were doing it on a full-time basis, and then she did lower her prices accordingly. She's going to have work enough to keep her busy all year round because people like homesitters when they're off on vacation. They like to know that their pets are safe and sound at home. So people that know you, if they find out what you're willing to take a chance on doing to make some income for yourself, they may become devoted customers after a while. Also, you can use your own advertising network. If you sew or make jewelry, your friends already know about what you do and how good you are. So you might want to enlist them as cheerleaders. Why not give them free samples and ask them to tell everybody they know about your new business enterprise, if that's what you'd like to do. Also, check in with local boutiques. There's a lot of people that might want to place an order for your product to sell or even agree to sell your items on consignment and split the proceeds with you. Also, if you're a crafter type of a person, there is a site I found out about called Etsy, etsy.com. They are able to help you sell your own crafts, whatever they might be. And don't worry about thinking small. If there's something that you are a specialist with, it may be absolutely perfect for a certain area of the marketplace. But it will take effort and it will take some time. And you know, you can take your hobby, your skills, your interests with you wherever you go, and always be willing to talk about what you do and let people know that you would be happy to share with them what you have in the way of a service, a skill. People won't know about you unless you say something about it. So anyway, that's Angela's story. I just thought it was absolutely fabulous. I could not pass it up because I think we always need to remember there are people out there in life every day that are going through challenges, and some might be worse than anything you could ever have imagined, and maybe not so bad. But the idea is to be aware of the fact that there are options and there are opportunities. And I'll tell you, sometimes I think you just need to be around some supportive people and do some brainstorming to find out what the possibilities are. Because we can all get into those funky moments of thinking and wonder what in the world are our options. Sometimes we just get absolutely blocked by our own limited thinking. So it's important, be aware. I think of the artist of Patricia Derrick's book, Riley the Rhinoceros. We were talking with her earlier in the show today. Here is a man whose skill is just so good, I bet you in a million years, he would never have imagined that he would end up doing artwork for Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas. But that is where his work has taken him. We never know who is going to say, I want you, I want what you have to offer. You just don't know when the universe is going to open up an opportunity for you. So as you go about your day-to-day, look at what your blessings are, appreciate them, and be aware of the fact that there's nobody else like you on this planet. You're very unique. You're one of a kind. And being that way, you have a gift to give that is going to make a difference in the lives of people that you know, and maybe even strangers that you have yet to meet. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be right here, same time, same place, Look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.